Now we'll now give the floor to Anne-Sophie Hemmingsen, whose working group discussed de-radicalization. Anne-Sophie Hemmingsen is a researcher at the Danish Institute for International Studies, and she looks at militant Islamism in the West. She's recently published the report, An Introduction to the Danish Approach to Countering and Preventing Extremism and Radicalization. And she has been leading the group on de-radicalization, please. You have 10 minutes.
Thank you very much. I just want to start by saying thank you very much for the kind invitation. It is such a pleasure to be part of this. And it has been such a pleasure to spend the past 2 days with my working group. We have a really amazing group. We have a very diverse group. We have members from Asia, Africa, Europe, and North America. And the past 2 days have been really inspiring. I think we, as a group, really didn't want to leave the room. We wanted to continue discussing, which is it bodes well for the future. And of course, I'm going to be butchering the very complex discussions that we have been having for the past two days. So please forgive me, group members, and please make your comments and feel free to add the things that I am undoubtedly going to forget. So we as a group have agreed that we understand this de-radicalization that we are supposed to be working with for the next 1.5 years as meaning anything from preventing attraction to extremism through building critical sense in schools, through community engagement, through building resilience in communities to prevent something from happening in the future, and to, on the other extreme, exit from concrete organizations, groups exiting from violence and rehabilitation of, for example, former combatants. We are also agreeing that we would like to include anything from the micro level, such as interventions directed against individuals, to the macro level, such as when states engage in negotiations with groups to de-escalate a conflict. We have been talking a lot about the need to be in contact, in dialogue with other groups. And of course, I think it's quite obvious that it would be a good idea to be in contact with group number one, the radicalization group. Also, just to make sure that we are not going in completely different directions and contradicting each other's work. But we would also really see an advantage in being in some sort of contact, at least with group number three. So we hope that the groups will be open to that. We've also agreed that recognizing the framework that we have, what we are primarily going to do is synthesize our existing research. And at least I think that in our group we have a lot to contribute with. There is a lot of practical knowledge about efforts, various efforts to de-radicalize groups and individuals. So the outline that we see at this point in time for our chapter and for our work is that, first of all, unsurprisingly, we have to problematize the field. We have to problematize this de-radicalization. We have to open it up and we have to deconstruct it. We have to be very aware that what is being lumped together at this point in time as radicalization or as de-radicalization are in fact many very different phenomena, and we are making it difficult for ourselves to talk about these things by trying to come up with one concept. We have talked again and again and again about the importance of context. Basically, what is defined as radical or radicalization in, for example, Kenya is not the same as in, for example, Denmark. We have to be sensitive to contexts. And we also have to pay attention to the fact that efforts to de-radicalize are also very linked to their own context. We were talking a few times about how efforts to de-radicalize may as much or even more be a reflection of the society than of the object of de-radicalization. We also found it really important to be open about the fact that what we refer to as radicalization is not something new, and it is not something that is only linked to Islamism. But the prism of radicalization is something new. We did not nobody back in the 70s or 80s looked at, for example, the Brigate Rosse through the lens of radicalization. And it would be really interesting if we could go back and look at it. But we just have to be aware that this is a new way of looking at things. And we want to put a lot of energy into pointing to the many, many challenges and pitfalls of this prism and of this approach, but also of concrete measures to de-radicalize. So as probably many have noticed, I'm doing this a lot. And that is, of course, because we find the concept of de-radicalization problematic and challenging. But we are not going to go into defining radicalization or de-radicalization once and for all. We're not going to trace the development of the concept or try to come up with a better definition. What we're going to do instead is start with the case studies that the group members have already done, case studies of practical experience with de-radicalization. And we have case studies of really interesting, very diverse attempts at, for example, facilitating responsible media strategies, building resilience in communities, and individual interventions in prisons, for example. So we want to take as point of departure the concrete case studies that we have and sort of try to avoid attempting to once and for all define radicalization. After we've done that, we would like to risk a bit and move towards new and constructive conceptualizations and typologies. We want to go into the many phenomena that are currently lumped together and try to detangle them. We want to pay special attention to the importance of history and context. These were the words that just kept reappearing during our conversations. We also want to pay attention to the importance of identifying objectives. So when we say de-radicalization, are we talking about preventing polarization, which in some future may leave room for extremism to fester, or are we talking about an individual intervention where we are attempting to get an individual to exit a group, for example? And from there, the importance of identifying the relevant target groups, the relevant actors, and the relevant methods. We also want to attempt, at least, to suggest that we can move away from the very individualized focus that lies in radicalization and de-radicalization and the depolitization that is often accompanying these ways of understanding the challenges. And we want to look into more social, more communal approaches. So from here, we want to fourthly address the many challenges of transferring experience from one country to another without understanding the content and the context. So, for example, attempts to export Danish approaches to Kenya. And finally, we want to, we have a bit of a normative project here, that we want to make it very clear that attempts to counter and prevent extremism, terrorism, radicalization, and so on, is not risk-free. It is highly political and it is highly politicized. And the potential risks, side effects, counterproductive side effects must always be taken into consideration. And finally, we also just want to ask ourselves in this process, in whose interest is de-radicalization actually attempted? So I will leave it with that, and hopefully I have kept within
time. Yes, you have been perfect. Thank you very much.